Well, good evening. It is so good to be here. I believe this is my third year here, being here at Glenpool, and it's always a pleasure to be here with you guys here. It's just always a joy to spend time with you. And I think when we came here, my daughter was, I think she was two and a half-ish, and my son was a baby, and so she's five, and he is about to turn three. And so time really flies, doesn't it? And so it is so good to be here, and I'm so grateful. I thought after the sermon last year that I would, never mind, okay. It was wonderful, wonderful. I had a great opener, and so Jim, I appreciate you for opening me up tonight. I was like, well, I don't even have to speak tonight. He got it. But we have certainly a lot more to talk about on the topic of how can God help me with forgiveness. How can God help me with forgiveness? And that's the topic I was given to me. And if you could turn with me to Colossians chapter 3, that's where I'll pitch my tent tonight. Colossians chapter 3, starting at verse number 1. Colossians chapter number 3, starting at verse number 1. And as you're turning there tonight, I want to kind of set the stage or the scene for us as we think of the topic, how God can help me with forgiveness. I just got done preaching through a series called the One Another series. And so this is part of one of the One Another commands that God has given us, forgiveness. And that not only does that is it a command that he gives, but it is something that he helps us with. But I want us to understand tonight that forgiveness is one of the most difficult commands that God has given us. Whether it's betrayal or harsh word or broken trust, forgiving others feels impossible at times. There's a story of a little boy who was arguing with his sister and she had eaten the last cookie again. And their mom walked in to break up the fight and told him, "Honey, you need to forgive your sister." And he shouted, "I can forgive her later, but not until she gives me her socks back." And how the story goes, it turns out that he had held his sister's socks hostage and had put it in the freezer the week before. And he told his mother why he did that. He said, "Because forgiveness should be cold, just like revenge." There was also a man who was doing some home repairs and couldn't find his wrench. And you know us men, sometimes things are exactly where you left it, but then you don't remember where you left it, right? So he yelled in the house, "I know someone moved my tools," and he eventually found it right where he left it. And embarrassed, he came in grumbling, "Well, I'm still mad just in case." His wife laughed and said, "So you're keeping a grudge just to stay sharp?" He said, "Exactly. Grudges are like tools. You never know when you need them." And she laughed and she smiled and said, "That's the problem. You're building bitterness, but you're not fixing anything around here." And so it's kind of one of those funny stories there. I want to set the picture, paint the picture. Imagine walking through life, and I was going to bring a backpack and I forgot it at home, but it's okay. Just imagine I have a backpack on my back. Imagine walking through life with a backpack strapped to your shoulders. Every time someone hurts you, lies, insults you, betrays you, you reach down and pick up a stone and you place it inside of your backpack. At first, the weight isn't too bad, but over time, the stones pile up. Some are small, some are big. And eventually, if you're putting all these stones and different things in your backpack, it gets heavy and your back starts aching and your shoulders start sagging and you eventually can barely move forward because it is so full of all that stuff. This is what unforgiveness does to us. It weighs us down until at a point we can barely move. And eventually, we got to do something with that stuff. I want us to understand tonight that God doesn't ask us to forgive. He helps us to forgive. by reminding us how we've been forgiven ourselves through Christ. And he reaches into that backpack and removes those stones one by one. Let me say that again. It's not that God asks us to forgive, but he reminds us to understand that we have been forgiven our own self. And God's backpack for us is full of stones and it's weighted down. But God has taken those stones out one by one and he's forgiven us of all the stuff that we put in his backpack. And he lets those things go. And so I stop by here to tell you tonight that when you let that stuff go and you get rid of that stuff that's in that backpack, you will find yourself at peace. Real peace in your life. And so I want us to see tonight as I go through this lesson. I had 4 points and I went down to 3. I told him to delete one of the slides. So you're good tonight. Amen. You're good tonight. But I want us to see how God helps us by giving us a new identity, a new attitude, a pattern, and the power that he walks with us. The first point I want us to see that God reminds us in the text who I am. Now, I forgot something. We got to read the text first, all right? I got ahead of myself. Colossians chapter 3, starting at verse number 1. The Bible says, "Since then you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things, for you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, greed, which is idolatry. Because these, with the wrath of God, is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived. But now you must also rid yourself of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices, and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Here, there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, bear with each other, forgive one another. If any of you have a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect peace. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful." The first thing I want us to understand in this text that God is reminding us in verse number 12, who I am, and in previous verses. As I've read through Colossians 3, we see a clear pattern of what God has called the Christian to be. God starts with this idea in this letter to the church at Colossae about the identity of who we are. Before Paul tells us in this writing to forgive, he tells us who we are. And I know I'm right about it because starting at verse number 1, he tells us we have been raised with Christ. Isn't that the first thing he says? Who are you? You are the raised people. Amen, Walls. You are the raised people. We're not dead anymore. We are raised with Christ. Christ made us alive. See, when we were outside of Christ, we were buried people. We were dead. We were separated. But the Bible says that God tells us who we are. Who are we? We have been raised with Christ. How have we been raised? When we decided to give our lives over to him and was baptized and had all our sins washed away and put self out of the way and allow him to be the controller of our life. And then the second thing that we see here, and there's a lot of stuff. I'm not going to talk about all of it. We'll be here till midnight. But the second thing that we see here in the text, it says in verse 1, set your minds on things above. Who am I? I have a set mind on heavenly things and not on earthly things. Who am I? I have a set mindset that is on Christ. Further in verse number 5, the Bible says, we have put to death worldly things. When we remember who we are, we remember that we are no longer who we used to be. We're not out in the world anymore. We are in Christ. We are Christians. We are followers of Jesus Christ. No longer are we with the trend on the things that the world says is acceptable. We are only following what God says is acceptable. And I love how verse number 10 tells us this. Having put on the new self. We can't have the old self and the new self. The two do not mix together. And I love the fact not only does he say that we have to put on the new self, that we are or have put on the new self, right? But in verse 10, it says, which is being renewed in the image of his creator. I think it's powerful to understand that God reminds us, if we're talking about forgiveness, we need to remember that I am raised, that I have a set mind on things above and not on things below, that I have put to death these worldly things that I used to be. I have put on a new self. I am in the image of God and not of this world. And see, if we remember that I am in the image of the Creator, then that will help us to understand forgiveness. Not only does it stop there in verse number 10, but then looking at verse number 12, which is the text that I was given for tonight, the Bible says, therefore, as God's chosen people, who are we? We are chosen. You are not forgotten. You are not unwanted. You were picked by God. Who am I? I'm picked by God. I'm no longer the guy in dodgeball that was the last pick because I didn't have the skills to throw the ball. Amen. God picked me. We first choice. We are chosen. Who am I? We are holy. The holy part. The holy means to be set apart. For what? For his purpose. And then I love that not only does he say we're chosen, we are holy. But verse number 12 says that we are dearly loved. You are loved. You are valued. Sometimes we forget that sometimes we're looking for love and acceptance in the wrong places. But I tell you tonight that God loves you. God values you. God sees your worth. We are worthy because who God says that we are and not what the world says. Now you may think, now why does this matter what you're talking about? Why does this matter? Why does it matter who God says we are? Matters to the idea of forgiveness. Where we're going to get there. See, when you know that you're loved and you know that you're chosen, you know that you're set apart, and we know who we are, we find ourselves taking on God's identity, his traits, and his characteristics. When we truly take on the identity God has called us to, it helps us to understand how God forgives and how he forgave us. And I want us to understand tonight that he loves us and he's forgiven us despite our shortcomings and our mistakes and all this stuff that we've done. God forgives us. He forgives us. And if he's forgiven us, that should help us to forgive others. God shows us and helps us to understand what forgiveness is by telling us, number one, I want to remind you who you are. And when you understand who you are, and who you are is because of who I am, then when we're talking about how God can help with forgiveness, it is the first thought of saying that God forgave me. He gave me a new identity. He gave me a different purpose. He also gave me some new clothes. We're going to talk about that in a second as well. He gave us a new start. And if God done all that for us when we didn't deserve it, We understand through the reminder of who I am that we must do the same thing for others. So forgiveness begins knowing who you are in Christ. When I understand who God says I am and own who he says I am, then and only then can I have an attitude of true forgiveness. Then and only then can I do what God has called me to do. Then and only then can I see how God forgives and to implement what God says to do. And I'm going to get off track for a second. I want you to understand something. Sometimes we don't put in 100% in our walk as Christians. And then we wonder why we can't forgive like we need to forgive or do certain things. When we start putting a 100% into our walk, and stop carrying those things that who we're not anymore and trying to balance who we used to be and who we are now, something has to go. We cannot straddle the fence. The Bible says you cannot serve two masters. And the Bible reminds us who I am. I am God's. I belong to God. God says who I am. And when we realize that and we own up to that, then and only then can we have an attitude change. Not only does he remind us in this text who we are, but he also tells us in verse number 12 that something has to change in my walk. The text says in verse number 12, the change is this: clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. I'm going to get in trouble here, but I can go back home. So, see, when we took on that new identity, see, those clothes that we used to wear, and I'm not talking about physical clothes, all the baggage that we used to wear, that stuff was supposed to stay in the water. But some of us came out the water with some of that same baggage on. You'll get that when you get home. It's okay. But see, the Bible says if we are a new self, that he has some new clothes that we have to wear. What is it, Paul, that we have to wear? The Bible says we need to clothe ourselves with a new attitude, compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. This list is an attitude of mind. Where is my mindset? How do I view other people? How do I view myself? He says to clothe ourselves. And see, this idea of clothing, isn't like when we get up in the morning, we go through our routine. We intentionally put on clothing, right? And see, as Christians, as followers of Jesus Christ, we have to intentionally put on these attitudes that the Bible says to put on. And I want to understand that compassion, it may not be natural to us. Seeing others' pain and choosing mercy may not be natural. Humility may not be natural for us, but we need to recognize that we also need grace. Gentleness may not be natural for some of us, but we must choose calm over retaliating. Patience may not be our strong point, but we need to understand that we need to give time and space for healing and restoration. We must understand that we have to give grace to other people. And we need to ask ourselves the question, which of these do I need more of in order to forgive? I want us to understand this tonight, that if we're honest with ourselves, some of us are the most irritating people. And we sometimes just don't realize it. But you know what we do realize? We realize how others are irritating. But we forget that people at times extend grace to us on our irritating personality. Some of us need a lot of grace. Don't point at nobody, amen. But I want us to understand that sometimes we don't extend grace to people because we have pride and we think that we're the best thing next to sliced bread, and everybody likes me because there's no reason for them not to. And we don't realize that in humility that I need to realize that I am just as peculiar and different and have little things that people don't like about me just as the next person does. And I need to be aware that we are all different and we are all imperfect. And I need to be aware how I may be irritating to others. So I need to change. And I want us to understand tonight that we, through this scripture, that if we're wearing these clothing, that if we just humble ourselves and we express these characteristics, these attitudes that God has put in place, it will help us to be a little bit better with others. When we are tempted to be impatient with others, we need to keep in mind how patient God has been with us. And talking about gentleness, we need to keep in mind how we like to be treated. Most of us like to be treated gently and not harshly. And I think the best mantra to have is be gentle, be patient. Be gentle, be patient. I'm reminded of a story of a man who was shopping with his baby at a store, and the baby was just, you ever had kids who were in a shopping cart and they just cried the whole way there? They were just fine in the car. As soon as they get in the store, they're just crying. And a woman noticed this baby crying, and it was the dad and just the baby. And she noticed this man kept saying, "Keep calm, Albert. Keep calm, Albert. Keep calm." And the lady was so impressed. Man, he is so patient with baby Albert. She was so impressed that she walked up to him and said, "You know what? I am so impressed with you being so patient and calming baby Albert down." And he said, "I'm Albert." We need to have the mantra, Marcus, keep calm. Be gentle. Be patient. You can put your name in that spot as well. Another thing that helps me to be more patient with others is to try to understand where they are coming from. All of us have come from different backgrounds, different experiences. All of us experience different difficulties, and those things have formed us into who we are today. I know for me, I have different things from my childhood. I'm just like, man, this is why I'm like this. I have to work on myself. I don't like that about myself. But when we start giving people grace and step back a little bit and realize, I don't know why that person's like that. I'm going to cut them a little slack. I don't know their story. I don't know what they've been through. And sometimes if we just get out of our boxes and we start spending time with people, it helps us to recognize and be more gentle when we understand where people have been and what God has brought them through and from. God helps us to forgive others by changing our clothes with a new attitude. Not only that, he wants us to have a new attitude, but he gives us the pattern. What's the pattern? It's found in verse number 13 where the Bible says, "Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you have a grievance, forgive as the Lord has forgave you." What's the pattern, church? Bear with one another and forgive. And I've been around quite a lot. I haven't been that long around, but I've been around, you know. And I've seen some people carry some grudges. And I've seen some people that are 80 years old and something happened 25 years ago and they're still mad about it, have not forgiven it, and still holding it on their shoulders. It's very tragic. It's very sad. And is out of character for a follower of Jesus Christ. And I don't know how a believer holds a grudge against someone when Christ has canceled all their debt of sin. See, none of us deserve forgiveness. We've done some terrible stuff that nobody may not even know about. But you know who knows? God knows. Sometimes we act like we've holier than thou and never did anything in a day in our life. Then why are you here? The Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We all have something. The Bible says in this text, I love it, it says, forgive as the Lord forgave you. Many of us have been deeply hurt. Many of us wrestle with some painful stuff. And I get it. Sometimes we don't feel like forgiving people, or, you know, I get it. Some things hurt really bad. But what we must realize that in forgiveness, that our forgiveness should never be controlled by our feelings. I'm going to say that again. You may get that tomorrow. When we are forgiving, it should never be controlled by our feelings. I want us to understand, if we wait to feel like forgiving others until we feel that we can forgive others, we will be waiting for a long, long time. That's why forgiveness is a command by God, and it's not based on our feelings. As Jim talked about, the Greek word for forgiveness is release. Forgiveness is the decision to intentionally release the bitterness and anger about the matter. We may not be able to forgive and forget, but we can forgive and choose not to dwell on it. I know people who still talk about that same old stuff. Let it go. We may not be able to choose the emotions we feel when we remember how we were hurt, but we can choose to remember how we decided to forgive. Forgiveness is the idea of being intentional in our decision to not seek revenge, but to leave it in God's hands. And you know what? God is the best one to leave anything in the hands of. Forgiveness is the intentional decision not to allow whatever happened to imprison us and weigh us down like that backpack. See, the people who have a forgiving spirit are those who choose to do so and ask for God's help to do so. And the people who choose to have an unforgiving spirit also choose to do so, but without God's blessing. It is a choice. I don't care what you think or can say, you choose to forgive or not. It is a choice. Forgiveness is very difficult. And really, if you really think about it, mostly impossible without God's help. Forgiving someone who has hurt you may be the hardest thing you've ever done. For me, and I probably told you these stories over and over again since I've been here. Some of you know my life story. But I remember when my biological father got out of prison and he found me on Facebook, he reached out to me. And most of my life, I've been struggling with identity issues and belonging and struggling with the feeling of abandonment. He reached out to me, and I tell you, old boy was arrogant. This man wrote me on Facebook talking about how he did me a favor going to prison, and I wouldn't be where I am if it wasn't for him. I was like, man, what are you talking about? He expected me to accept him immediately, a man I've never met, and at that time I was 20 years of nothing. But it came in my life being disrespectful and puffed up. And I wanted to let him know that it was because of God. Him. It was because of God I ended up like him selling drugs. It was because of God I wasn't addicted like my biological mother was to drugs. It was because of God I was the first to graduate high school. It was because of God I was the first to have a college degree. It was because of God. And little did he know that I forgave him a long time ago, because I know that's what God's will for my life is, to forgive others and make an impact on others with my story. That's God's will, for us to forgive just like he forgave me. We must forgive. And like I said, forgiveness is hard, but when I think of all the stuff God put up with me, I don't want to list it off, but woo! He forgiven me. And when I think about who I am in the beginning and what he has taken us out from, when I think about all that he's done for me and the new attitude that he's given me with the new clothes that I have on. The idea that he's given me the pattern of what I need to do. Bear with one another. Forgive one another. Forgive as God has, as the Lord forgave us. Forgave my father. I forgave my biological mother. I forgave all those people who've hurt me and told me I end up just like my biological parents. I forgave all those who've hurt me deeply in my life and in the church. I forgive. Is it easy? No. But if God can forgive me, if God can forgive you, we can forgive others. How did God forgive? I'm so glad that you asked. The first way he forgave is he freely did it. We didn't earn it. We didn't deserve it. But he freely gave his forgiveness for us. How else did he give it to us? Fully. He held nothing back from us. He gave his son. How else did he do it? Permanently. It's not temporary or conditional. It is what God has given us. When we talk about the idea of forgiveness, we are not the source of forgiveness. Christ is the source of forgiveness. So when you're struggling to forgive others, we need to look back to the cross and not the offense of what the other person did. When we think about the person who hurt us, we need to ask, how has Christ forgave me of all the things that I did to hurt other people? When we look at that and we understand that, and we reflect back on all the things that God has forgiven us for, it helps soften us, soften our hearts to forgive. As I conclude tonight, I got 10 more minutes. Amen. I'm just kidding. I ain't got 10 more minutes. We'll see. I want us to understand that when we forgive, we feel a freedom that is so great. It's like taking that backpack off that I talked about. It's like, ooh, it is just a weight off your shoulders. God gives us the strength to forgive. Forgiveness is a process. Sometimes, and I don't know, you know, I can't speak for my wife. Sometimes she forgive me the day before and she'll talk about it the next day. Y'all ever had that, man? Forgiveness is a process. It's not a one and done thing. Sometimes we have to surrender those things daily to God. We forgive the day before and then it's just in your mind. You have to keep letting it go. And I want us to understand that God walks with us in this path. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 2, it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his purpose. What is it that the Bible says? It is God who works in you. How is his work in you supposed to be? To will and to act according to his good purpose. And if we are not fulfilling what his purpose is for us, whose will are we fulfilling? I don't want to get in trouble tonight. But if it's not of God, who is it of? God says, I'm working in you to will and to act according to my purpose, my good purpose. And I want you to understand tonight that you are not alone. God is with you, and he is willing to help you. He is working with you. Reminder of that song, he's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. He is in the process of helping us. Forgiveness is a process, but forgiveness is freedom. Forgiveness doesn't mean that you forget. It doesn't mean what happened was okay, as Jim had talked about. It just means that you trust God with the outcome and refuse to let the bitterness take root and take over your life. I know so many people who are unwilling to forgive, and they were the most bitter people. Walking around look like they've been sucking on a lemon all day. They just seem so unhappy. But see, when you understand, as I've talked about tonight, that you are loved, God sees you, God chooses you, God forgives you, that you are equipped, that God gives you a new attitude to put on, that God has guided you with the example of what Christ did for us on the cross, that he's forgiven us despite who we are and despite what we have done. And then we realize that we're not alone. God strengthens us every step of the way, even in the toughest moments, to forgive. So I want to challenge you. I want to give you some homework. I want you to think about, who do you need to forgive? Is there someone that you've been holding a grievance against? You may be struggling with that. I don't know. I want you to ask God to work on your heart, work on your mind, work on you to forgive today. Let us pray. Father God, we're so thankful for this day. We're thankful, Father, for all the blessings you've given us. We're so thankful for your word, that you've left us the example of how you help us to forgive. We're so thankful, Father, for being raised with in Christ and to have these new clothes on, Father. Sometimes it's tough, but we know, Father, that you're with us. You help us even in the toughest moments of our life. Father, if there's someone in this room today that is struggling with forgiveness, they're struggling to let go and to be free and to have the peace that surpasses all understanding that you talk about in Colossians 1:15, Father, that we can experience that peace, that individual can experience that, and that they can release these things to you and forgive unconditionally just like you forgive us. Thank you, Father, for your unconditional love. We don't deserve it, but you give it to us anyway. Father, be with us as we walk this walk. It's difficult as being a Christian, but I'm thankful, Father, to know that we are not alone. You are with us. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.